Kane is in the building.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to do top five, bottom five now that week one is in the books. All right, so we're going to go with top five first, then bottom five, because I think bottom five is more fun. And I had more fun doing this because one of the problems that we have with bottom five is that as the season goes on, the usual suspects just kind of hang around for a while.
All the time.
Because of week one, there were some really bad performances. So they may be teams on bottom five that would never be on bottom five again. But right now they are.
Or at least maybe they'll stay. We don't know.
Maybe they'll stay. All right, so let's go to five all the way to number one. I'm going to start with number five. I put the Miami Dolphins here. Boy, they love themselves some Mike McDaniel, do they not? The Miami Dolphins look pretty good against the New England Patriots. McDaniel going for it on 4th and 7. He's got some guts. It's a nice, easy win for against the Patriots. They've now won 4 straight against New England, albeit not without Tom Brady. But nevertheless, the old nemesis they've sort of taken care of. They've got Tyreek Hill. Tua Tagovailoa looked pretty good. I'm going to give Miami credit here. I'm going to put him as number 5.
I was going to put the Dolphins in the top 5. I did not. And the reasoning why was because they don't know how to dispose of the grills appropriately.
Yeah, that's
apparently.
Right.
Apparently. But my number 5 team, this is where I have the Vikings.
Vikings, all right, you're really good.
I didn't even think about this team at all during the preseason, and then they go out there and just, you know, shut Aaron Rodgers down, and that's a feat above itself.
Yeah, wasn't it 3 touchdowns for Kirk Cousins in that game? Yeah, so I didn't even put Minnesota in my top 5. That's a good one.
You know, I don't know if this team will stay, but who knows?
Who knows? This is what week one is all about.
That's right.
This is what's fun. Number 4, this is where I put Tampa Bay. Everybody wondering what Tom Brady would look like. He was fine. I mean, it wasn't explosive. He didn't throw for 380 yards or anything. But the defense was pretty good. Maybe that was more ineptitude on the Cowboys' part, but the Buccaneers went on the road, showed up, did their job, and I put the Buccaneers as 4. It's not a solid 4, but you know what? It was to hold the home team to 3 points. Pretty good night for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I put him as 4th.
Yeah, no, I like that one. I might have them later on. Let's see. I have number 4. I have the Chargers.
Chargers, yeah.
I had them in my top 5 last week, our pre-NFL season top 5, bottom 5. And they get to stay because, you know what, the Raiders are supposed to be a really good team. And I think they are a good team, and the Chargers showed up and did what they were supposed to do. And Justin Herbert is easily the best quarterback in Southern California.
You got it, because that's where I put the I put the Chargers number 3 on my list. That's where I got them. I think this was a big win. They played a great game last year, obviously, to close out the regular season. These are very equally matched up teams. I loved it, the fact that they opened up the season together. The Raiders are a good team. The Raiders are a good team. They're going to be good this year. Davante Adams and Derek Carr are just getting started. And I think Josh McDaniels, from the early signs of things, and again, I'm willing to amend this, the early signs of things, he's got it all together. Players love him. They're going to be fine. Chargers winning this game, that's a big deal. And Justin Herbert throwing 3 touchdown passes, that was an outstanding performance. I put the Chargers as 3. I think they're a force this year.
Yep, for number 3 for me, this is where I had the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
I thought the way they just dismantled the Cowboys on both sides of the ball was amazing. I mean, the Cowboys, I think, did a lot to themselves. And, you know, losing Dak Prescott and having to go with Cooper Rush is always a bonus. But that was later in the game anyways. And the Buccaneers just never looked like they were in any real danger of losing that game. And like I said, I mean, the Cowboys are supposed to be a good team. So I don't know. I mean, they could change next week when we look at this and go, oh, you know what? The Cowboys really aren't that good. And the Buccaneers are, you know, above average.
Yeah, the Buccaneers play the Saints, and that's one team that is, even with Brady, that is one team that seems to get them, is the New Orleans Saints. Number 2, this is where I put Kansas City. Man, that was like, I didn't think Kansas City would have a drop-off. But to open up the season with 5 touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes, he spreads it around all the different receivers that he has. Tyreek Hill, they're going to miss him. Of course they are. But this goes to show you why the quarterback is the most important position, obviously. Because if you can make things happen, even when you're short of this player or that player, it's worth all the $250 million in money that you give these guys. Patrick Mahomes made it work without Tyreek Hill against Arizona. 5 TDs, Kansas City number 2.
That's where I had the Chiefs as well. I put them at number 2. And, I mean, easily could have put them at number 1. Mahomes doing Mahomes things is what we've kind of grown accustomed to, what we're used to. And if he's not QB1, he's definitely QB1A.
Yeah,
in this league, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, him not having Tyreek Hill should have been a setback, but you wouldn't have even noticed that, you know, they didn't have their number one wide receiver that they've had for the last couple of years.
They figured it out. They figured out what to do, and
he still has Travis Kelce, and that duo. I mean, that duo could, dare I say, be better than Brady Gronk.
Yeah, it's going to go down as one of the best QB tight end combinations in the history of the league.
Yep.
When it's all said and done. And, of course, number one, Buffalo. What a dismantling of the Rams. I still go back to Friday morning saying, look, this game, I never felt the Rams were in it, even though it was tied at halftime and it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Never once did I feel like the Rams were capable of winning that game because the Bills were that good. The Bills were that good, and they pulled away in the second half for a 21-point lead, for a 21-point win, and did everything you thought the Bills were going to do at the beginning of this season, playing the way they did. They just looked exactly the same, and Buffalo's number one.
Ditto. Yep. There's nothing more I could add to that. It was impressive. I mean, we thought the Rams, I mean, coming in with the Super Bowl champions, got the banner hanging down. I mean, it's the opening game. Nothing. Rams had no chance against this Bills, and they were doing it on both sides of the ball. What I love most was Josh Allen spreading the ball around to a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, that's what he does. Exactly. He really does excellent at that. We'll have bottom five coming up, because like I was saying earlier, top five is, you know, this early in the season, we're going to reward good performances, and then those teams may disappear a little bit. Same thing in the bottom five. Well, I don't think Kansas City, Buffalo, any of these teams are going anywhere, but, you know, maybe Miami doesn't pop up in the top five or whatever. Maybe they do. But in the bottom five, it's always interesting when teams, especially teams you think are going to be good, lose and don't look good doing it. So how would that bottom five shake out? No, that may not be the normal regular suspects that we have. So again, top five for me, Miami, Tampa Bay, Chargers, Kansas City, Buffalo, and I believe you had the Minnesota Vikings, the Chargers, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much have the same top four, and it's usually how it goes, right? We have the top four, the top five kind of intertwined with one another. You know, or the top four kind of, you know, they always seem to be the same. And then that fifth one, it's like a team that just pops up. We bring them back down, pop up, bring them back down. I don't know if the Vikings are going to be there again next week. I have no belief in Kirk Cousins, but I'm going to give them their due.
All right. Bottom five is coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Your thoughts on Monday Night Football or anything in week one in the NFL on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we roll this morning on your Tuesday on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, now it's time for bottom five, where we go down to the worst of the worst of what's going on. By the way, Ron, I wanted to tell you, I think I might have told you this last year. So I do a Formula One podcast, and I have top five, bottom five. But I borrowed something that we sometimes do every now and then. You know, sometimes we don't do teams. Sometimes we bunch up like the AFC West or the AFC East, like if they all had a bad weekend. And I do that as well. So it's not just like drivers. At bottom five, top five could be anything. It could be boss. It could be track. It could be officials. So I always liked when we do that, but I did not do that this time. I put all teams, even though I wanted to, even when I was leaning towards a group of teams, for example, I decided to keep it all teams. I'm going to start number 28 all the way up to 32. So caveat here, some of these teams may just get their act together and become top teams. I had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
I could have done the usual suspects, but I'm punishing some teams after their week one performance. Number 28 is the Rams. The Rams blew it, and I'll tell you why. The Rams, all right, maybe Matt Stafford's elbow injury was a problem. I get it. And losing to Buffalo wouldn't have been bad. It wouldn't have been bad. Buffalo's one of the better teams in the league. But it was your night. It was your night. You're unveiling the banner. You're celebrating the Super Bowl. You get to host the first game of the season. And as I said earlier, there was never a second I thought they were in this game, even when it was tied at halftime. Even when it was 17-10 going into the fourth quarter. I never once thought that they were in this game. And here's the thing. In 60 minutes of football, they only scored in a three-minute window to get into halftime. That's it. That's the only time they scored in the game. They didn't score on their first drive and then were held scoreless until the third quarter, then picked up two field goals in the fourth. They scored within 3 minutes of going into halftime, and then that was it. They didn't score in the first, third, or fourth. So, you know what? And Matt Stafford threw three interceptions. Rams, you may get back, but right now you're 28.
That's fun. I really like that one. That was awesome. Number 28 for me, I put the Titans here.
Titans, yeah.
You're up against a terrible team. You're blanking them at the half. And then you let Daniel Jones get back on you? Come on now. I mean, Daniel Jones, we don't even have him ranked in our top 32 quarterbacks, and that's saying something. And you let Daniel Jones do that to you. So, yeah, with all the hype that was surrounding the Titans, with all the, hey, you're going to cruise to the AFC South title because it's just yours there for the taking. And you can't take this one? Come on now.
That's amazing that you did that, because that's where I put the Titans at number 29 for the very exact reason you just mentioned. You're up 13-0 at home against the Giants. The Giants that literally turned this season into, hey, Daniel Jones, you want a job or not? Because if you want a job, you better step up. And they were shut out. And then the Giants decided, all right, we'll kick it in. Not only did the Giants come back, Saquon Barkley looked pretty good, and they could not hold back this Giants team that's on this emotional streak. The Giants got a 2-point conversion to take the lead of the game, feeling like they could do it against Tennessee. Yeah, no doubt. This team should have been put away early, boxed up, and shipped back to the Meadowlands. But instead, they let New York hang around, and then the Titans lost. And boy, oh boy, it's going to raise a lot of questions. And here's the other thing. I'm not as sold on the Titans in the AFC amongst the elite AFC teams. So you can't lose games like this, because the other losses are coming. They could start 0-2 easily now. They've got a Monday night game on the road at Buffalo. They could start the season 0-2. Do you want to be 0-2 in the AFC, as good as that conference is? I don't think so. So, yeah, no, the Titans blew it. They absolutely blew it with this one. So that's why I put them at 29.
29 for me. I didn't really want to put this team in the bottom five at all. I have high hopes for this team. I believe in Aton.
Yeah.
If I could throw that out there. But nevertheless, I had to put the Jaguars there because Carson Wentz looked like a Pro Bowl MVP caliber quarterback. I don't think that's him. And the Jaguars, if you can play the Jaguars, you're probably going to end up looking like an MVP caliber quarterback.
Yeah. Four touchdown passes for Wentz in that game.
Yeah. That was not a good showing. And I'm still, my God, I mean, we're, what, is it 17 games now or 18? I can't do the math. 18 games now, and still waiting for Trevor Lawrence to look like to have that game. Yeah, you know, I have no doubt he's an NFL quarterback. He definitely belongs playing quarterback in the NFL. That's not the question that's not what I'm trying to get after here when I'm talking about this. I want to see that game that is elevated to another level where we sit back and go, yes, this is what someone created in a lab should do.
Yeah, he just has pedestrian numbers that are good for an NFL quarterback, but they're not elite.
Yeah.
Like 275, a touchdown and a pick. You know, it's like, I mean, that's, he obviously, that's an average day.
You know, I mean, I would never suggest he needs to play in the CFL, the XFL, the AAF, you know, all those other leagues, you know, wherever football may be played. I know that for a fact. He belongs in the NFL, but it's not sexy.
No.
That's the problem I'm having.
What I'm wondering too, and maybe eventually it'll come, and if they can get even some better weapons around him. But I'm with you. I'm with you on that. But I don't have Jacksonville in my bottom five because I figured they're going to visit there a lot. I'm having more fun ripping these teams that were halfway decent and weren't good in week one. 30 for me, New England Patriots. Yikes! All right, again, they can't win in Miami. They can't. They couldn't win in Miami with Tom Brady. They can't win in Miami without Tom Brady. The Dolphins have beat them four straight times, but this is like the Dolphins have won 9 of the last 11 meetings in South Florida. It doesn't matter if the Patriots go down in September like they just did or December like they normally do. It doesn't matter. The Dolphins seem to have their number all the time when they go down to South Florida. The Patriots have got a problem. I mean, Mac Jones had some back spasms. He had some issues. But I don't think this team is very good. I don't think this team is very good at all. And I know they made the playoffs with Mac Jones as a rookie, and it sort of opens people's eyes to, hey, look at what they can do now. But I don't know if this season is going to go their way. They could change, obviously. But to me, right now, that was a terrible performance. And I'm going to give them number 30. I'm going to have 3 turnovers, again, on the road. Dolphins win with relative ease. They were up 17-0. Patriots, you're 30.
I like that. I didn't put the Patriots in my bottom five, but all the reasonings are there. Maybe you're being like a Nostradamus here, because I could see them being in the bottom five almost like perennially week after week after week.
Again, it's another one. Listen, the Dolphins are not one of the bottom teams like the Giants, you know, where you figure the Giants will win 4 or 5 games and that's it. I mean, the Dolphins are a playoff potential team.
Yeah.
But if you're in New England, like, you're going to play the Ravens and the Packers and you know, the Colts are on your schedule and the Bills are on the schedule twice and the Raiders and the Bengals. Like, you can't afford to lose games like to, you know, especially divisional games, have a hard time beating Miami anyway, but the way they looked wasn't impressive at all. So that's why I put the Patriots here.
Yeah, number 30 for me, this is where I had the Falcons.
Falcons.
They were my 32nd team last week. I bumped them up a few notches simply because they had a lead.
But they did have a lead at home, yes.
But what do we know about the Falcons and leads? That is epic collapses. They go hand in hand. If you look in the dictionary under Epic Collapse, you will see the Falcons logo.
This is very good reasoning.
It's like death, taxes, Falcons collapse late in the game. I don't know what it is I can say about this team. They're not going to be any good. They're going to be in the bottom five week after week after week this season. I really still have high hopes for Mariota. Maybe they're not the 32nd team week after week after week, but come on, man. You guys, I mean, find a way to hold on to a lead.
It was 28-3 in the Super Bowl. It was 26-10 in the fourth quarter at Mercedes-Benz.
I got more. Somebody did us a solid on the Twitters and posted a whole bunch of collapses. They were up 30-20 on San Diego with 6 minutes left in the game. 39-24 on the Cowboys with less than 5 minutes in the game. 26-10 on the Bears with 6 minutes left in the game. 24-7 against the Buccaneers with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. It goes on and on and on. All of those games they have lost.
I wish I put them in my bottom five. I thought, you know, I kind of went, they lost. They're expected to lose. The Saints are one of the better teams. Marcus Mariota played pretty well. They had 400 yards of offense. But you know what? Now they should be in the bottom five.
It's just epic collapse.
Exploding like that once again, Atlanta Falcons. But that's a good one. I should put them in there. Number 31 on my team. I put the Dallas Cowboys. You can't ask for a worse night. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's a Super Bowl or bust season again. Dak Prescott is lost for 6 to 8 weeks. Had surgery. The team looked absolutely atrocious. Their injuries are now really starting to pop up. It's not just Prescott, but they were entering the season without Tyron Smith on the O-line. Michael Gallup, they have no one to throw to. There's no one to throw to. It was 3 points at home on your opening night, and you lose your quarterback. That's a season down the drain. Dallas Cowboys, 31.
You know what? I have the Cowboys at 31 as well. And it makes me laugh because you were just sitting there saying they have no one to throw to. They have no one to throw to. You know what the only saving grace is? They now have no one to throw the ball.
They have no one to
so
throw the ball.
So it works
ball,
out
right.
Fine now.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's Cowboys. You're the reason why we're having Bobby Belts on later.
I know. Bobby Belts coming on later in the show to explain all this.
We want to know. I mean, is it at the point now? I mean, after that game, is McCarthy just sitting there X-ing out the calendar?
He's
you know,
just
like day
you know
after
what?
Day knowing that I'm gone.
Get the check ready and let me walk out the door.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, yeah.
Did he immediately phone his agent and go, yeah, what's my buyout clause again?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look at that number and whatever they say, yeah. You know, make sure we get the full amount.
All right, number 32 on the list, J-E-T-S, Jets. This was, again, atrocious. They scored 9 points. Joe Flacco's the quarterback. I get it. Not Zach Wilson, but Flacco against his former team didn't have anything. The team didn't have anything. Robert Saleh says he's keeping notes or receipts or something like that. Yeah. It was some other quote he had. Taking receipts on those mocking the team. All right, then take mine because you stink. You stink. Wake me up when you're good or anywhere near good, and then I'll start paying attention. But you're not. And so there you go. When Zach Wilson comes back, we'll see. But I didn't expect you to beat the Ravens, but 24-9 and late, you know, a fourth quarter touchdown late in the game that when the game was already in the books after the Ravens just thoroughly dismantled you, that doesn't count. So I'm sorry. The Jets are the worst team on our bottom five.
Yep.
And rightfully so.
And you know what else they were doing too? They made the Ravens mad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Then the reason why they made the Ravens mad is because they gave Lamar Jackson the platform to bet on himself.
Yep.
You know, turned down probably really great money.
He did. He turned down really good money. But you know what it was? That stupid Deshaun Watson contract.
But I'm going to say the Ravens are now mad at the Jets just because, you know, Lamar Jackson famously said, I'm going to bet on myself. He goes out and he bets on himself and he came up winning.
Yep.
I mean, it was 7-7-7 on that slot machine. He hit, and bells were ringing, lights were going off, all the bells and whistles that you could possibly hope for when you bet on yourself. The Jets were like, yeah, go ahead. We're with you.
He did. So that's our top five, bottom five as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.